This is a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. Go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
It's 5 o'clock on Friday afternoon. My name's Jacob.
Well, I must be Mercedes then. And we're on community radio 3CR with Friday Rave.
You are tuned to Community Radio 3CR with Jacob and I on a Friday Wave, and we're tuned in from the beautiful studios down here on Smith Street.
And it's actually Friday early afternoon. It's 3 or 4 hours ago. I love these temporal warps that we can do when we pre-record.
It's just maybe like being in suborbit sometimes.
Well, yeah, I get all TARDIS-y about it.
And you might be tuned in at 8:55 AM or via 3CR Digital or at all the W's at 3cr.org.au. And this week we're going to be talking about Southern Launch. Jake, you were in Adelaide speaking at a rally a few weeks ago now.
In September, I think it was, while I was out on the road. I was up in the beautiful Flinders Ranges when I got a call asking me whether I knew someone who was in South Australia who'd be willing to talk on the satellite launches. And I thought, well, I'll be coming through Adelaide about then.
Oh, well, yeah. Good opportunity. And we're going to be continuing that today. There's been some action out on Gugutha country with Aunty Sue Hazeldine.
This is an ongoing use of Indigenous country to test, well, more efficient ways of killing people, as I put it.
All right, we're joined by Aunty Sue Hazeldine, who's out on Gugutha country at the moment, where there is an imminent launch from AT Space and Southern Launch happening at the Canuba Test Range on our country. Hey, Aunty Sue and friends, thanks for joining us.
How are you all?
Yeah, good. Can you give us a bit of a rundown on what the last few days have been like? Now, you're out on country, what have you found out since you've been out there?
Well, we came out on country originally to do some work on country and try and get photos and stuff of the animals and all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we're out here. We got messages from Insiduna about the rocket launches happening and the park's being closed. But we had no warning, no indication when we came out. And I'm still here. And I'm going to stay here for whatever. If they wanted to, you know, play silly buggers and not even give us any warning, that's dangerous.
Yeah, for sure.
And they
know you're out on country?
Because I sent an email to them, to Southern Launch, asking for confirmation on whether the rumours we heard were true or not. And we didn't get any confirmation from them anyway.
Yeah, right.
It's been the Canuba Community Council, whatever, has been answering our emails, not Southern Launch.
Ah, oh, okay, so they're just deflecting.
They're passing.
With this upcoming launch, now, we believe it's a company called AT Space, and it's a suborbital rocket launch that I think it was just while you were out on country that the Australian Space Agency put the permits up for it. So anything prior to that, and was there any signs when you were going into the park or anything like that to suggest that it was closed?
No, nothing.
Yeah, and you've been in the park before when there's a launch same things happened, is that right?
Yes, the one before, that was actually a protest against the launch, and that didn't matter to them. They just sent the rocket over their heads anyway. But this time, this didn't start off as any kind of protest.
Mm.
This was the maintenance work on rock hole, on country, and we found out while we're out here about the launches.
Yeah, pretty stressful, I'd imagine.
Yeah, it is, because I get scared for, you know, my family and friends that are here with me.
Of course.
I would think it happened to any of them due to Southern Launch's failure to follow their due diligence or whatever that thing's called. But they failed to let her before we even came out.
Well, they don't even seem to know what due diligence is because they haven't done it.
That's right. They're still failing.
Yeah. And what's it like out on country now there? Is there what's the sky doing? You said there's a big storm rolling in.
It's beautiful but scary, because last night we had a thunderstorm and lightning. It was, like I said, it was beautiful, but it felt like the earth was shaking under us.
Oh, wow.
Well, hopefully that'll put them off for a few days as well.
What was that, Jacob?
I said hopefully that will put them off for a day as well.
well, because they can't launch when the weather's bad.
Yeah.
So it's a blessing in disguise, really.
Mm.
Yeah. So what are they actually launching?
Some rocket.
High-powered rockets.
High-powered rockets. And then they're waiting also for a VADA return, the company.
Now, the VADA returns, we're going to have a little bit of a chat. Jake and I are going to get stuck into them a bit later. But they've had three of the capsule returns on your country, right?
Well, I know of one for sure.
One for sure, yeah. Oh, the one that's coming. There's been a few prior to now, though, isn't there?
Yeah. And they don't give much warning on that, too. And then, they just close the airspace, the maritime space, the parks, and the... They're saying this is not going to turn into another Woomera restricted area, but their launch zone goes right into the Woomera protected area.
Oh, so it's crossover.
Yeah.
And they're calling it a test range. All right, now the whole idea of a test range rather than a launch facility, like the one down Whalers Way they're calling a launch facility, but Canibba they're calling a test range. Now the whole idea of a test range is to test whether things work or not. Now, that in order to do that, you have a reasonable expectation that the rockets are actually going to fail.
Mm.
If they knew they were going to work, they wouldn't need to test them. The whole idea of testing is expecting that a certain percentage of them will fail. So do we know, like, have we got details of the type of rockets, what they're carrying and all that kind of stuff?
No
details whatsoever. So since you've let them know that you're out on country, they've just said it's happening, but haven't given you a time, haven't given you a landing area, they've given you no information?
That's right.
So they're sending a thing up that they're kind of expecting to fail and don't know what it's going to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, like America, they knew people were on country, but they didn't...
We just lost you there for a sec. It was like what, sorry?
Maralinga.
Mm.
Well, you're not a million miles away from Maralinga either.
No, we're not.
No. And the test range goes over part of the same land that was restricted for Maralinga, in my understanding.
Yeah, I think right.
And it brings back that whole, I guess, concept of terra nullis, doesn't it? The idea that nobody's out there, and what they mean is what they actually mean when they say nobody, and who they regard and what they regard.
Well, I keep telling them we're coming on country all the time, just right, we've got to go check something, we've got to go do something, and we don't hear anything from them, so we just head out anyway and to do our jobs.
No information to the public, no information to you when they know you're out on country doing stuff, pretty frequently.
Yeah, they're really turning Aboriginal against Aboriginal here, as good as native title.
Yeah, right.
Well, that's what they do. That is what they do. And what is the community? I do notice that a lot of the information that Southern Launch put out comes jointly from Southern Launch and the Canibba Community Association.
Yeah, but they don't talk to the rest of us. I think they have spoken to the Far West Coast Aboriginal Native Title mob, but they have not spoken to the broader community at all. They've kept it really tight.
Mm, yeah, right.
Yeah, this is something we see all over the country, unfortunately, mate.
Yeah, so divide and conquer is alive and well.
And so people want to, there's been a few calls to action during the week for people to call up the space agency and try and call Southern Launch and stuff like that. So where can people go for more information to keep updated or to see what they can do apart from being out on country from their homes or from where they live?
Well, people can check us out on West Mallee Protection.
Mm-hmm. And that's on Instagram?
Instagram, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah, listen up, folks. Check out West Mallee Protection on Instagram. We have mentioned it a few times on the show, but we'll keep updated. Good luck to you out there. Stay safe and take care of each other and keep on fighting the fight.
Too.
And the animals.
Oh, yeah.
Lots of endangered species out there, hey?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's lots of people there, and it's like we need to thank you for doing this and also point out that it's when people talk about satellites, it's sort of like, how can I put it? It's a bit amorphous and we don't really know what we're talking about. But these things are being used for the military.
Mm.
There's no question about it. And this is a part of the country which has been taken off the original peoples and used for military testing since well, gee, since the early 1950s, I guess, maybe even the 1940s. From Woomera down to the coast, and it's just moving into the next phase. I reckon that we need to get these people to stop if we can, and at the very least get the Australian people to know what they're doing out there, and get the news out there into the city of the way that the military-industrial complex is not, you know, the colonisation of the country didn't end with Federation. It's ongoing today, and we need to point out that this is the latest attack through a centuries-long theft of land for the sake of testing, well, quite frankly, ever more efficient ways to kill people.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, thanks for being out there, and thanks for joining us. And we're going to get stuck into Southern Launch a bit more for the rest of the show, but we'll keep in touch and we'll talk to you soon.
Anybody you can think of, ask them questions.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, make the calls.
Yeah, thank you very much for caring and sharing.
Okay, and take care of yourselves with that storm approaching. We'll let you get out of there.
Now, thanks, Honey Sue and crew, for joining us. And we just got sent a picture of that beautiful storm that's coming through, that's crying out to hopefully stop those rocket launches going ahead. But Southern Launch,
even the planets against it.
Yeah, that's right. And the interplanetary is against it. Now, Southern Launch is a company. It's a commercial rocket launch company. They operate two facilities, one being the Cunnibba Test Range and another called Whaler's Way, which is a launch facility. And so the difference being that Cunnibba is a test range, as we said in the interview, and Whaler's Way is where they conduct launches. Now, the upcoming rocket launch that the crew out on country got word of after the fact of already being in the park and have made Southern Launch and the companies involved aware of their presence on country is a suborbital test, high-powered rocket test.
Yep.
By a company in collaboration with Southern Launch, by a company called AT Space or At Space. Now, At Space had a deal with Southern Launch and two other companies called Ascension and Innova back in 2022 for a series of launches of their Kestrel rocket from Whaler's Way. But prior to that, in 2021, AtSpace is a sister company of a Taiwanese commercial high-powered rocket company called T-Space.
Yes, spelt T-I as in Taiwan Innovation, I think it stands for.
Yeah, I think that's right. And so they also have a sister company called JT-Space in Japan. But back in 2021, the T-Space alongside Southern Launch made an attempt for a launch, which failed. And it was after, and there was actually an investigation by the Australian Space Agency into the failure of that launch of their Hipparth rocket. And then so after that, there was three more launches set to happen at Whaler's Way under the newly branded AT Space, yes, which is the Australian front. I'll call it a front. They'll call it a subsidiary.
They'll call it a sister company, actually, I think is how they refer to it.
Is their terminology. And I think it's important to note that two of those tests. So the first one was by T-Space, and then there was two under AtSpace, and they both failed within an hour or, you know, within minutes of them being the launch. And then back in July of this year, so that was back in 2022.
Yep.
And then in July of this year, T-Space's sister company in Japan, JT-Space, also attempted to launch a rocket, which also failed. So this company, T-Space, and its various sister companies have not had a successful launch to date. And so going into the Cunnibba Test Range in this impending rocket launch that's happening and over the next couple of days, well, hopefully not happening if this storm rolls through and gives them what for. But I guess that just really speaks to, you know, in terms of there's flight safety codes, which talk that anyone who is in the landing area or the drop zone or within the area needs to be informed and made aware of the risks and the danger that this poses. And so we've got a company called AtSpace that is launching a rocket. It was only on Wednesday that the Australian Space Agency updated their website with the permits approval about this upcoming launch of suborbital rockets, and no information to the public has been given in regards to that. There's nothing online about it. AT Space's website, and Southern Launch hadn't put anything on their website about this particular one. So what is actually being launched, we don't know.
We don't know what's being launched. But the other thing, I just want to come back a second there and say yes, and say that you say they haven't had a successful launch. Well, it depends what you mean by a successful launch. Mm. I mean, you look at Southern Launch, just look at them for a moment. This is set up and run by a bloke named Lloyd Damp. Now, I could make puns on his name, but I'll leave that to the listener. Now, before setting up Southern Launch, Lloyd Damp was working, setting up rocket launches and rocket testings and everything in Woomera itself, in the Woomera prohibited area. And then what's happened is he's formed a separate company, and this is the way the military industrial complex is working. What used to be in-house in governments is now being set up as separate companies. And this bloke has been making a lot of money. You don't need, it's a test range. You don't need the launch to be successful.
You just need to make the money to allow it to happen.
In order for the company to be successful. So I think we ought to, you know, I want to point out to the listeners that when you call something a test range, as I said to just in the interview now, it's actually saying you're expecting things to fail. Because if you know they're going to work, you don't call it a test range.
Mm. Yeah.
All right. So is this it? So even if the launch itself, as you so rightly put it, is unsuccessful, as far as who makes the profit, who pays the price, it's continues to be successful for Lloyd Damp and his cohorts.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's important to note that this is a commercial company, and so it's kind of like selling the launch facility to any bidder that wants to use it. So it's not just commercial, it's military, and this is this kind of framework of the dual use kind of thing. And I think it's following US policy, and the US has been pretty transparent about the use of the increasing use of commercial launch facilities for military purposes.
Yes.
Because there's a policy in order to develop what is still considered a rather fledgling industry here, anyway, of the space industry. And so giving an opportunity for private companies to come and make a buck using both commercial and military launches, and also re-entry. I think it's really important to note here that Southern Launch also has just recently signed an ongoing agreement with a company called VARDA, which is a US-based, what they call themselves, a pharmaceutical company, for the re-entry of their Winnebago capsules. So that agreement first came about, I think it was last year, when there was some permit issues about VARDA's launch of one of its Winnebago capsules out of Ohio, and they launched it without having a permit for re-entry. And so that's resulted in a subsequent changes in the US Federal Aviation Authority permit requirements for launch and re-entry. And so because this capsule was in orbit, it didn't have a permit to re-enter, and so some backs had to be scratched. And they were able to make a deal with Southern Launch to allow for that capsule to land at the Kinibba Test Range. And so there's been three of those capsule landings, and the Australian Space Agency has just put out that VARDA now has a further three that it has a permit for.
Right.
And the W4, which is the fourth iteration of this capsule, is set to land sometime between the end of November and December. So that's incoming as well. And
they're just going to land there. And just, I mean, we say VARDA Space Industries, all right? But one of the main investors in VARDA Space Industries is going to be, regular listeners probably remember the name Peter Thiel from Palantir. That's the bloke behind VARDA Industries, all right? This is the bloke who's doing all the kinds of stuff with surveillance technologies, with right-wing, neo-Christian, you know, dispensationalist sort of Christ is coming again to we need to have conflagration in the Middle East so that Jesus Christ can rule on earth, and all this kind of absolute mind-boggling bullshit.
Running the surveillance networks for the IDF and the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation.
That's right. The guy behind the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation is the same guy behind Varda Space Industries.
Yeah.
So,
and also who's behind Varda Space Industries. And so Varda kind of paint themselves as a pharmaceutical company. And what they claim to do is that in microgravity in orbit, there is compounds and structures that are able to be formulated and crystallized in a microgravity environment that can't be done on Earth in order for the production of pharmaceuticals and drugs, which they say are going to hopefully be to the patient within 10 years. But also Varda has been awarded over, I mean, it's definitely more, but what I've got in front of me at the moment, over $100 million from the Air Force Research Laboratory, from NASA. They're one of the few contractors for small business innovation research that's attached to the Department of Defense. And they've given, what they're also doing in these capsules is testing hypersonic materials and testing these things on re-entry. So every one of these Winnebago launches and re-entries is providing data to the US government and the Department of Defense, which is under the ownership of the US. So the retrieval of the capsule once it's land, any information then has to be stored. Southern Launches, I guess, taking heed of that in partnership in order to get that intellectual property or the information of that straight back to the US military.
Yeah, and they clothe it all by saying they're a pharmaceutical company looking to make, as you say, drugs to help people with illnesses. I mean, look, with that kind of money, if they really wanted to spend that kind of money to help sick people, maybe what they could do is, you know, open a few hospitals, make Medicare more available, have implement, even in the United States, you know, the government's gutting the Affordable Health Care Act. They're not really about wanting to help sick people, because we know there are sick people and we know what they need in order to be helped. This is all bullshit. The other thing they're doing up there, as you so rightly say, is hypersonics. And the other thing they're talking about is producing semiconductor wafers, the crystals, to be used in semiconductors. Now, apparently it's so much more efficient to make these things in microgravity and in a vacuum and with absolutely no dust anywhere. So what we're looking at, these satellites, they're not just... they're processing plants.
Yeah, factories in space.
They're factories in fucking space.
Yeah.
It's hard to get your head around the kind of things they're doing.
And on the semiconductor thing, so I think it was back in October, Varda Space Industries signed a joint agreement with a company called United Semiconductors.
Right.
And so United Semiconductors are, this is a quote here, the first of its kind semiconductor crystal manufacturing experimental payload company. We're talking about the pharmaceutical benefits of developing crystallizing things in space, which Varda Space Industries claim to do, they now have this joint agreement with United Semiconductors, who make crystal manufacturing in microgravity. Currently, you know, just more recently in the International Space Station, but now United Semiconductors and Varda Space Industries have a joint agreement to look for the more large-scale, what they call high cadence, so continual launch and re-entry of these capsules to develop a larger-scale commercial industry to develop the crystals needed in the semiconductors, which we know is directly for aerospace and defence and military purposes. And that's, you know, in things... that's the crystals for autonomous systems, sensing, artificial intelligence, and defense. And so this is all factories that in space, in these little capsules, to develop the crystals as part of the US's push to maintain its semiconductor industry and to grow the semiconductor industry for military and defense.
Well, yeah, military and defense is a huge part of it, but it's also just in terms of financial control too. Today's supercomputers rely on being faster than your competitors' supercomputers. If you can get information about a storm coming in or about any number of thousands of factors which are going to affect a mine or a farm or a shipping route or whatever, a split second before your competitor, excuse me, to give you the opportunity to offload stocks all the rest of it. It's all about, you know, I think that more than 95% of all financial transactions these days are about financial transactions.
Mm.
Buying and selling currencies,
yeah,
which means buying and selling basically countries. All right. In a capitalist world, a country is defined by its currency, let's face it.
Yes.
And so this is just part of the military's a huge part of it and probably the biggest part of it. But I just want to point out that the military isn't just weapons. It's the military industrial complex.
Yeah. And that's that dual use.
All the dual use.
And I think just on, Southern Launch is a pretty fledgling company, but he's absolutely going gangbusters over the last few years because there's been some really significant changes in the legislative frameworks in terms of the Space Launches and Returns Act, the flight safety codes, which are looking to be updated by the end of the year or early next year. There's also an agreement between what's it's called the TSA, which is the Technology Safeguards Agreement.
Yep.
And then at the International Aeronautical Conference back in September, Australia signed a deal with NASA over some other form of agreement that we don't have any text for yet. But you know, earlier this year, Southern Launch is as being this really growth in a commercial industry.
Yeah.
Is alongside Gilmore Space Tech, which have a launch facility up in Queensland.
Queensland, just near Brisbane.
Yeah. So after they did a big funding round to get a whole bunch of money, Powerhouse Ventures were a company there that invested into Southern Launch under a new fund. They're called the Critical Infrastructure Opportunities Fund. And another company within that fund is a company called Liquid Instruments, who operate out of Melbourne Uni. And Liquid Instruments actually got some of their seed funding a few years ago from an Israel-based venture capitalist tech firm.
Oh, look, surprise, surprise. This is why I wanted to start just mentioning Lord Damp and Southern Launch, because all these people are just fronts for big capital.
Yeah.
All right, this is like they want to do stuff. As long as it was being run by the Australian government out of Woomera, the Australian government, like it or not, has certain things it can and can't do and certain amounts of oversight. Now, I can hear you scoffing. I said certain amounts of oversight, but even the limited oversight that happens to Australian government projects is absent as commercial in confidence once it becomes corporatised.
Yeah.
So it's just a way of offloading, like the government is offering. It's called neoliberalism.
Oh.
I'm sure listeners have heard of it.
I'm sure. And I think the private company aspect of this is something that we've come across before when we're looking at trying to find out about where these commercial and confidence deals are happening. The private company like HTA and all, like the information is so hard to actually find of what's publicly available.
Yes.
And so I think that that's something that needs to be noted as well. But
and it's not just us. You've even got the admiral in charge of procurement in the US Navy complaining about Lockheed Martin and all their commercial confidence bullshit.
Oh, I never thought I'd have anything in common with that. But, I mean, we are just about out of time. But just on that last funding round and where Southern Launch are headed, so the Defence Industry Bank, Brindabella and Co.,
yep,
as long as some former Macquarie executives have put a lot of money into the undisclosed amount of the last funding round. So, we kind of think about where their allegiances are. And there's a bloke who is a defence lobbyist. He's the chief executive of a semiconductor company called Atto Devices. Someone by the name of Jeremy Hallett, who has just been as part of that funding round, was announced as the board chair for Southern Launch.
Right.
So as always, folks, jump on, have a little bit of a play around in your search engine and see what you can find, because this is the epitomization of the military-industrial complex. And what's happening, I think it seems really big of what you see in terms of the US defense industrial base and the growth of that. But what's happening as we talk to Ani Sue is that Ani Sue and her family are out on country right now and that rocket's about to launch.
Yes, and I just want to add, in the moment we've got left, is we're talking about productions of crystalline wafers for semiconductors, for microprocessors. Next time you hear the Murdoch press or even the ABC or anyone in the government talking, building up their China rhetoric, remember, and the Taiwan rhetoric, Taiwan is the major producer of semiconductors. And we look at AT Space, it's a sister company to TI Space. It's about the semiconductor industry. It's not about medical research. It's not about anything else. It's about controlling the future of computing.
That's exactly right. Now you're tuned to a Friday rave. We'll give you an update next week on Southern Launch. But in the meantime, go to Instagram and check out West Mallee Protection.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.